second to none. Written by Alexander Kent and read by Michael Jaston.
The wave cry, the wind cry, the vast waters of the petrel and the porpoise. In my end is my beginning. T.S. Eliot. The midshipman stood beneath the cabin skylight, his body accepting the heavy motion of the ship around him. After the cramped quarters of the midshipman's berth of the frigate in which he had taken passage from Plymouth, this powerful man of war seemed like a rock, and the great stern cabin a palace by comparison. It was the anticipation which had sustained him when everything else seemed lost. Hope, despair, even fear had been ready companions until this moment. The shipboard sounds were muffled, distant, voices far off and without meaning or purpose. Someone had warned him that joining a ship already in commission was always hard. There would be no friends or familiar faces to ease the jolts and scrapes, and this was to be his first ship. It was still impossible to accept that he was here. He moved his head slightly and watched the cabin's other occupant, who was sitting behind a desk. The document the midshipman had carried so carefully inside his coat to avoid spray from the boat's oars turned towards the light of the sloping stern windows and their glittering panorama of sea and sky. The captain, the one man upon whom he had placed so much hope, a man he had never met before. His whole body was as taut as a signal halyard, his mouth like dust. It might be nothing. A cruel disappointment. The end of everything. He realized with a start that the captain was looking at him, had asked him something. His age. 14, sir. It did not even sound like his own voice. He saw the captain's eyes for the first time, more gray than blue, not unlike the sea beyond the spray-dappled windows. There were other voices, nearer now. There was no more time. Almost desperately, he thrust his hand into his coat again and held out the letter which he had guarded and nursed all the way from Falmouth. This is for you, sir. I was told to give it to no one else. He watched the captain slit open the envelope, his expression suddenly guarded. What was he thinking? He wished he had torn it up without even reading it himself. He saw the captain's sun-browned hand tighten suddenly on the letter, so that it shivered in the reflected light. Anger? Disapproval? Emotion? He no longer knew what to expect. He thought of his mother, only minutes before she had died, thrusting a crumpled paper into his hands. How long ago? Weeks? Months? It was like yesterday. An address in Falmouth, some 20 miles from Penzance, where they had lived. He had walked all the way. His mother's note, his only strength, his guide. He heard the captain fold the letter and put it in his pocket. Again, the searching look. But there was no hostility. If anything, there was sadness. Your father, boy, what do you know of him? The midshipman faltered, off guard, but when he answered, he sensed the change. He was the king's officer, sir. He was killed by a runaway horse in America. He could see his mother in those final moments, holding out her arms to embrace him and then to push him away before either of them broke down. He continued in the same quiet tone. My mother often described him to me. When she was dying, she told me to make my way to Falmouth and seek your family, sir. I know my mother never married him, sir. I have always known, but... He broke off, unable to continue, but very aware that the captain was on his feet, one hand on his arm, his face suddenly close, the face of the man, perhaps as few others ever saw him. Captain Richard Bolitho said gently, As you must know, your father was my brother. It was becoming blurred, the tap at the door. Someone with a message for the captain.